forgot to mention, next Sunday we're going to have a potluck because Stefan and Jenny are moving to Arizona. So, and that's kind of the reason why they did that song too. Jeremiah 23. I don't really like the clapping thing, but that song, you almost kind of head toward that. Jeremiah 23. Let's go ahead and pray first. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. Help us to be people that sincerely follow your words, that we might be able to separate the wheat from the chaff. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, give you a little background of before I read this. Jeremiah 23 and Matthew 23 are probably two of the meanest chapters in the Bible, where Jeremiah and Jesus rails on religious leaders. I mean, he just rails on them. Both of them do. Now, Jeremiah was a single fella. He was told by God not to get married. And he also was the last major prophet that lived in Jerusalem before Jerusalem was conquered by Babylon or Iraq. Nobody really liked him. He had a very small following, if you want to call it that, very small. They called it a remnant, so I don't know, 50 people at the most as far as speaking to those people. Most of the religious leaders would think he'd have been a failure or just a nobody, but God used Jeremiah in a fascinating way. And he starts railing on the false prophets of his day. Now, some folks might say that he was jealous because they had more people in their religious group, you know, in their synagogue. But that wasn't the case. And we are living in day and age as far as the church goes. The larger, I'm not saying that all large churches are wrong, and I'm not saying all smaller churches are right, but the tendency is toward that way as far as the Bible goes in this age. So, I want to give you basically the idea this morning is why does God allow false doctrine, deceit, and heresy to prosper? Why is it that Joel Osteen and company has got them packing out this morning? Why is it that Joyce Meyer and company has a large crowd and they got big, big bucks wherever they go? Okay, and there's a reason for that. God has a purpose for that. In Jeremiah 23, he kind of aims at that crowd. Okay, there's a church down in DeMott area. It's between DeMott and Wheatfield. It's called the First Church now. Originally, it was called the First Reformed Church in DeMott. It was the first Dutch Corner church, known as the Dutch Corner for years. That's the one that I tried sleeping in their theater seats during church as a kid. You know, and them things kept going up on me, and it's kind of hard to do that. Okay, later on they got pews. Man, pews you can lay out. Individual seats, you know, man, that's kind of hard. But we left that when I was about, 57. So I was about 11 years old when we left the Dutch Corner Church. Well, now they're building a huge church between DeMott and Wheatfield. It's called the First Church. And they've got big advertisement. If you got a DeMott address, you're going to get something on a weekly basis, a high-colored, first-class invitation to their outfit. And it's amazing that out front on their marquee, on their sign, it's got an esoteric 666. And do they know that that's what that is? It's the three circles, big circle, middle size, and small circle, mama bear, papa bear, baby bear, and they're interwoven. So it's three sixes. And they're going to have a big crowd. They're going to open up in a couple weeks, you know. And why is God allowing things like this take place? He's got a purpose. And if we get into the Bible, we discover what the purpose is. So Jeremiah 23, verse 16 is where I'll pick it up. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart. and not out of the mouth of the Lord. So if you can imagine this, go down to Houston, Texas, when Joel and company starts showing up for church, stand out front and have a big billboard sign saying, don't go and listen to him, he's a bald-faced liar. You will become real popular. Those people will demonstrate their love. Okay, that's what Jeremiah is doing. That's why he was not well-liked. And that's what God told him to do. And that's why he probably told him not to get married, because then they wouldn't endanger a family or kids. He can just go out, you know, and hightail it and get out of there. Verse 17, they say still unto them that despise me. The Lord is saying that these religious people despise him. The Lord hath said, they say, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. No, he didn't say that. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil should come upon you. Okay, what's the imagination of your own heart?
If you feel like a boy today, you're a boy. If you feel like a girl today, you're a girl.
You know, in a Jewish school, they asked, you know, if you feel like a girl today, get in a girl's line. If you feel like a bill boy, get in a boy. Oh, why do you have boys and girls line? You should have an it line. Okay, but that's the imagination of their own heart. Okay, so what you have is a Babylonian army that's going to soon surround this city. And Jeremiah is saying to them, you are going to get it. God's given it to you. And then the prophets are saying, oh no, that's not going to happen. God bless Jerusalem. It's going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. And then Jeremiah said, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. That's the God of love, right? The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed. That's the God of justice. Till he have performed the thoughts of his heart, in the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Yes, he is at hand. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? That's the secret societies, doing their dastardly deeds in secret. And then he says, saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. I have heard what the prophet said that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. Okay, in America, we had a guy back in the 60s said he had a dream, and it became our nightmare. Okay, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Okay, now notice verse 28. This is the God of the Bible who believes in free speech. He doesn't, you know, if you want to speak a lie, go ahead. If you want to tell the truth, go ahead. He gives you the liberty to say it. Verse 28. The prophet hath said, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Okay, so verse 28. That's an idea of free speech. Okay, now, in America, we understand you're supposed to have free speech. But you ain't going to do it on certain college campuses. Okay, and I'm a firm believer in free speech. Okay, what is the chaff to the wheat? Now, the Lord is using an analogy. What is the chaff to the wheat? Okay, being a small town and you're living around farms, hopefully you do understand a little bit about chaff and wheat, okay, or grain. Come October, or maybe in July if you see somebody combining wheat, okay, you'll see a combine, a big machine out there. And I would encourage you to go to an implement place and ask them for a brochure of a combine. You can learn a lot of things from that. If you're going to a John Deere, wear an international hat. If you're going to a, you know, international Case Internet, wear a John Deere hat. They might trade you hats. Get a new hat out of it. Okay, but ask them for that brochure and look at that combine. It's an amazing machine. It's a beautiful picture of the second coming of Christ. Okay, now when you watch that machine going down, cutting wheat, come about July 4th in that range. Okay, or in October, you see it whether they're cutting soybeans or picking corn. Okay, you'll see dust blowing out the back. Dust and chaff. What's coming out the back is chaff. Okay, it'll be the stalks, the pod, you know, beans, the pods. Okay, and that's the chaff. And then it separates in that machine, the chaff and the seeds are separated. The seed would be truth. The chaff would be false error, false doctrine. That's the analogy Jeremiah is giving. Okay, and in God's wisdom allows false doctrine to prosper. Why? He's got a reason. He's got a reason. In Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus talked about the latter times, he said, many shall rise in my name and say, I am Christ, and many shall follow them. In 2 Peter chapter 2, he mentions there are many false prophets and many shall follow them. So you're going to see these mega churches, contemporary music, mega, lots of people going in there. Many are following them. Okay, and you say, are you opposed to that? Well, I don't believe in that. I don't believe it's where truth is, you know, really being pushed out there. I'd say chaff is being pushed, but hey, people got their choices. Okay, and so why is God allowing that? Now, sometimes you'll see a faithful man in a small town, in a small area, where he's been there 20 years, 30 years, and he's fortunate to have 30 people maybe show up on Sunday morning or something like that, and he's been faithful to the Lord, and then he sees these mega churches, and they get discouraged. Why does God allow that to happen? He's got a reason. He's got a reason. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last when the judgment hits. And so I'm going to give you some reasons why God does this. And in Psalm 1, verse 4, it says, the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Okay, in that combine will be a blower, a fan. And that fan is designed to blow the chaff out the back. And then it scatters on the ground. Often a farmer will come into the field and he'll go about 100 feet, maybe 100 yards. Then he'll get out, shut it down, and then go behind the thing and he'll dig through the chaff, kick through it, and he's looking for seeds. And if he's got too many seeds, the blower's run too high. So he's got to shut it down a little bit. But he's looking for that seed, and the seed is to be in the grain tank, and that's the truth. But all the chaff is out there. The ungodly are like the chaff. Okay, and the Lord's going to drive it away. And in Daniel chapter 2, he says, the world kingdoms are like chaff, and Jesus is going to come and smite them, and then they're scattering to the wind. So I hope you understand that the chaff would be the byproduct that helped the seed grow, protected the seed. But yet, in the churches, that's the way it's going today. It's necessary. Chaff is necessary to produce a harvest. And God has a reason. Okay, and the first thought is this. God's original intent in the Garden of Eden was friendship with a sinful man, a sinless man, holy man. That's his original intent, is to have a friend. But he had a problem. The problem is that there's no joy in friendship with a doll or a G.I. Joe or a machine. Now, children will play with a doll. Hopefully, girls play with the guy, doll, and the guys hit it like that a couple times. Okay, but as far as, you know, they play with toys, and a child in their imagination, they're pretending about some future roles in life. Okay, but eventually that child reality sets in and says, it's a doll. It can't love me freely. I love it, but it can't love me. And so God created Adam and Eve, and but yet they were like robots in a way. He wanted fellowship. And so the problem was is there's really no true joy in the fellowship with a robot. So what did God do? In his solution, in his infinite wisdom, he gave man a free will. That was the solution. where the person can now freely choose God or not. He's not forced to freely choose God. Now, the problem is that he had God and what? In the Garden of Eden, really, there was really no opposition. And then we have Lucifer. So now we have a choice in the matter. And so God originally created Lucifer as an anointed cherub, knowing that Lucifer was going to have pride and sin and deceive the entire world. He knew that was going to happen. And so Lucifer, Leviathan, Apollyon, the devil, the snake in the grass. And so now we have an opposition to God. And so man has a choice. But here's another problem is, if Satan comes out in his full evil, well, evil doesn't prosper when it appears evil. So what was the solution to that? Make evil appear good. Okay, and when it says that Eve saw that the fruit was good, pleasant to the eyes. Okay, and if you tell somebody your New International Version is a satanic Bible, they'll, what? It appears good, but it's a book that calls Lucifer Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what it says. Okay, so now evil appears good. Now, why does God allow this to happen? He has his motive, God's motive, is to discover real friends who sincerely seek after him. That's his intent. First commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Second commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. And so that's God's original intent, was friendship with a sinless people. Second thought, freedom from choice is more dangerous than freedom of choice. Okay, as far as our country, we know you have a freedom of choice in faith, in religion. You can go to a church of your choice, a freedom of choice. You know they had the same thing in Saudi Arabia? They have a free exercise of religion in Saudi Arabia. It's just that they only have the mosque. They don't have a Methodist church, a Baptist. Oh, you can freely choose to who you're going to, but we're only going to give you the mosque. That's a freedom from choice. In the political world, you have pro-choice and pro-anti-choice or anti-choice. The pro-choice crowd really don't want you to choose life. They want to take your ability to choose away from you. The only legal religion in Saudi Arabia is Islam. But yet you have a choice. No, you don't. The only legal theory that's taught in the science department is the evolutionary theory. There's not a choice. They should give them a choice. It could have been this way, it could have been this way, it could have been this way. Okay, scientifically, think. Figure it out. Okay, the colonists. Our nation began as a result of people fleeing religious persecution of the Catholic Church. That's why they came here, the Pilgrims, the Puritans. And what did they do when they got here? Like in Massachusetts, the Puritans got here and they got some families being raised under the Puritan faith. What did they do? They started taking away the choice of people, and you had to be a Puritan. Well, they didn't like the idea of being forced to be a Catholic over there, but now here they're forcing people to be a Puritan. And a guy named Roger Williams fled that and started the very first Baptist church in America in Rhode Island. You see, the freedom of choice, God allows that. Why? To see your true intentions of your heart. Freedom to choose between truth and error. Freedom to choose between good and evil. Liberals claim to believe in choice, but they don't believe in choice. They want to take your choice away from you. Third thought is this, is false doctrine usually engulfs truth. And that's what a person has to understand. Chaff surrounds the seed and protects the seed until harvest. The chaff is around it. And if you look at false doctrine, I don't care what it is, if you look at it and you go into the false doctrine, you're going to find there is some truth in there. That's what you're going to discover, if you want to weed through it. Now, the problem with Calvinism, if you're reading a Calvinistic book, You fall asleep so often because it's so dry, you got to try to wake yourself up until you, oh, there it is, I'm predestinated not to be a Calvinist. I got that figured out. And then that throws them for a loop. Okay, but as far as any truth, any error, if you just take some time and look through it, you're going to find inside a J-Dub, Jehovah False Witness. Knocks on your door, you talk to them. You know, they're spreading the kingdom. They're talking about the kingdom. Yeah, but they're doing it at the wrong time. Okay, and I had a J-Dub, two of them on my front porch, and I asked him, hey, sir, would you show me a copy of an inspired Bible? And he showed up his New World Translation. And I smiled. I said, are you sure about that? I said, I thought you would say the originals. He said, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I was mistaken. Yeah, you're right, sorry. It was the originals that was inspired Word of God. I said, okay, I thought that's where you should have been going with that. And I just tried to encourage him. I said, hey, now, have you ever seen that copy of them originals? No, never seen it. I said, so are you admitting to me right now that you've never seen a copy of the inspired scriptures? I said, see, that's the problem I have with your faith is you base it on your own personal opinion. And I just said, I said, I know you've probably never heard this before. You probably never looked at manuscript evidence before. I said, I would encourage you to do that, to discover that your whole faith is based on your opinion. I have a problem with that. I want a perfect final authority. And so it is foolish to ignore the differences between things, chaff, wheat. It's foolish to ignore that. You see, it's foolish to ignore the differences between people, male, female. There are differences. Adult, children. The different races. You know Mexican music when you hear it. Oh, yeah. There's a difference in the music. Okay, now, if you can't figure out the difference, you might end up like Michael Jackson. He didn't know what he was. He was a wax museum before the museum started. Couldn't get close to a candle because he might melt. The Wicked Witch of the West, I'm melting. I mean, the poor guy was confused. He wasn't a happy individual. He was just as confused as Prince. Both of those guys came out of Jehovah's Witness backgrounds. And it's amazing. Okay, and so if we don't see the differences between animals, put a pit bull with your little sissy dog, and one is going to be dead. Unless it gets caught in his throat, you know, and then both of them are dead. But there's differences in plants, animals, music, people, books, novels. Okay, there's differences between truth and error. Cars, trucks, all sorts of differences. Sports. False doctrine usually engulfs truth. Okay, and that's what actually until the harvest, and then you separate them. The third idea on this idea as far as what the Lord wants from us is a sincere student will separate the chaff from the wheat. Now, how do you do that? It's a process. Okay, when a farmer's going down the field, okay, let's say he's picking corn. As that row of corn is in a straight, hopefully straight line, 30 inches apart, and he's got a real small band and he's got to try to keep that in, and that stalk will go, he'll aim that head right in there, and that stalk goes in, and that stripper plates, and it grabs that, there's a rollers that grabs the stalk and yanks it down, and the ear pops up. Okay, and maybe the top part. And all that chaff goes into the front of the combine. And in the front of the combine is a thing called a beater house, where it crushes everything, and that separates the seed from the cob, from the stalk, from the leaves. And now everything starts going through the combine. Then it goes past that blower, and in the back is a straw walker. And this straw walker is shaking back and forth like this. Okay, and then there's the wind is blowing underneath of it, and it's got little grooves in there. And what happens is the wind hopefully keeps the chaff kind of floating, but yet not too much where the seed drops down between the grooves. And then the seed goes up, and it's augured up into the grain tank. Okay, the seed is the truth. The chaff is the false ideas, the false doctrines. And a person has to really search it out. That's what the Lord expects from us. And a sincere individual will search it out. And a someone who's insincere will just say,
I don't know. I just don't know what to believe. You say one thing and you say another thing and I just don't know what to believe.
That's because you don't want to know what to believe. It's a choice. Now, a false teacher or a heretic is like a farmer who saves the chaff and throws out the seed. Okay? And you see, false doctrine needs to be exposed by the truth and discarded by a sincere person, because the harvest of truth discards the chaff, unless they're going to, you know, put in a bale and use it for bedding. But still, then you got dust and sweat and bugs. And all that's a part of that. A sincere student separates the chaff from the wheat. Next idea is false prophets. If you're dealing with somebody like that, as opponents in sports, strengthens the believer. A lot of people don't think about that one. People get all upset and mad. You said something bad about my faith. I don't care what you say. Okay, it's just like an opponent in sports. That person is exercising you, and if you learn from it, you become a better athlete. Okay, and if you learn from these people, you can learn from them and become a better Bible student by looking for the truth. Last Tuesday, I played in a senior Olympics. It's not a Mexican thing. It's a senior for 50 and older. Okay, not Special Olympics for you smart Alex. Okay, Senior Olympics. So I played basketball, 50 and older. Mine was in a 58 bracket or whatever. And I'm getting ready to play. And this 71-year-old guy said, hey, you want to shoot some free throws? You want to shoot, you know, do a little contest? Nah, I don't really want to, but okay. So he said, I'll shoot first. He shot 10, made 8 free throws. So I said, okay, no problem. I should beat that. So I got 9. And I thought, okay, good. That's done. Don't have to do that anymore. He said, another 10? Okay. I shot 8. I mean, I made 8. He made 10. Oh, rats. Now he's 1 up on me. And so how about another 10? I said, okay. I hit 9. He hit 10. He said, let's make it 50. I said, okay. I hit 9. I hit 10. He hit 10. He hit 10. So he hit 48 out of 50. That's pretty impressive. 71 years old. And then he up and told me that, oh, he travels around, does halftime shows. I'm thinking, oh, man, I just got hustled. Fortunately, I didn't put any money down, so my money was safe. But he told me that he did a halftime show for Kentucky and Louisville where they were ranked 1 and 2. He took 50 three-point shots and made 46. 10 spots, 5 different spots in 5 minutes. I was impressed. Okay, 71 years old. And he's still at it, okay? But as far as sports go, is the opponent actually, they each help each other. It's a friend in disguise. Now, I'm not saying that when a couple of JWs, I'm going to be all friendly and have them come to my house and sit down and eat with them. But there's no need to be rude to them. I mean, you can take a nice, sharp, two-edged sword and just slowly stick it in. You know, as far as the Word of God goes. But false doctrine, okay, the idea is the opposing team in sports strengthens each of us. A person might lose an inning or a quarter or even a game, but you want to win the championship. And the song said, our God always wins. It don't look like it now. It doesn't look. I mean, Muslim faith, 1.5 billion. Catholic got about 1 billion. The Hindus, about 1 billion. You know, the post-millennialists, they better be rethinking their ideas. The evolutionary theory, sodomy's under, I mean, you talk about they're running the show. I mean, it's phenomenal how things are going, but it's just exactly as God showed it in his Bible. And when you see that, you got to step away from that book and say, man, what else can you do? It's a phenomenal book. The last idea is false doctrine and its rotten fruit is going to burn. It's going down someday. In God's time. In God's time. It's going to go down. And lost people that have believed this are going to face their doom. and saved people who have followed false doctrine. Yes, a saved person can follow false doctrine. Yes, a saved individual can promote false doctrine. But they're going to suffer terrible loss because they didn't take the time to let that chaff and that seed go through the straw walker, and then you had the blowing on it, the fan. That I think that's the Spirit of God, last time I checked in the Bible. Okay, and then let that enlighten our eyes so we might understand the Scriptures. God's just, it's phenomenal the plan that He has when you see the big picture. And you got to step back and say, wow, that's amazing. And then don't get deceived. Weed through it, sincerely follow it, and then love your God supremely. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray You'd help us to be sincere students of the Word, that we might sincerely know the truth, why we believe, what we believe, that it might be something that we can separate the seed from the chaff. And Lord, I just pray that You'd help us to be people that understand the big picture. Why is it that false teachers are prospering? Well, You already told us why. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be sincere, honest, humble in our search for the truth, and then when we are able to give it out, help us to give it out meekly to others so that they might be able to weed through so much chaff that's being published, promoted in the Christian bookstores, that we might understand the blessed truth of God. We might believe that beloved seed of God, the Word of God. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Okay, we're